The reading this morning is from Luke 5, verses 17 to 26, page 1032 of the Church Bible. Jesus heals a paralytic. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way into the house because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Why is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for this amazing story. And as we retell this story and just dwell in this story for a few minutes, may you speak to us. And may you show us just how you know us and love us, care for our needs, and long for us to connect with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Morning, everybody. Can I add my big welcome to you all, as well as Peter's? Have a fun time, Mikey. I think Toucan's going to tell the story down there. We're going to just have a look at this story for a few minutes. And I, as the title was Through the Roof, I thought I would Google Through the Roof and see what pictures Google came up with. And we got some great ones. You don't want to end up your car like that. This one's particularly relevant for Worcester at the moment. If you know all the giraffes that are around in Worcester at the moment. What do you do when you buy a Christmas tree that actually is a little bit too big for your house? And then this was my favourite, which I found. If anyone's into, I'm not into, but if anyone is into world, what is it, WWF, world wrestling stuff. The latest Daddy Splash, if you remember the Daddy Splashes of my era. Anyway, that's completely irrelevant, but I just thought they were quite nice pictures. I want to start with a question this morning. And the question is, what's your biggest need? At this moment in time, what is the thing that you personally would most like to get fixed? What's the thing that's most burdens and concerns and consumes you? You know, in the story that we've heard this morning from Luke's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel is one of those books of the Bible which tells about the stories of Jesus, we see a man being brought to Jesus to fix what he saw was his biggest need. This man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. We don't know how long he'd been paralysed for, whether it was from birth or whether actually it had been something of a more recent event. But what was clear was that this man was unable to get around by himself and had to rely on others to have his needs met. And back in those times, such a person would have actually had little security, little support. There'd have been no carers, no social services, no disability allowance. No community action buses, although I'm not sure there are going to be any more here soon. And no one to support him officially and provide for his needs. He had been totally left at the mercy of others and potentially would have become a forgotten outcast of society. On top of this, many would have believed in that day that his condition was a result of the sin of him or his parents, that his condition was punishment for the past. And so we would have had to live with that social stigma too, that shame that he would have carried around him with him. Isolation, rejection, shame, fear, lack of hope. That's what that man must have lived with every day of his life. They were the results of his paralysis, of his biggest need. And as we all gather here today, we all have our own individual needs too, don't we? Our own burdens and concerns, our own struggles in life that we are battling with. For some at this time, actually, these may be light and not too demanding. And at those times in our lives, we rejoice and we're thankful. But there are others here who may well be carrying around really big issues at the moment. Struggles that can become dominating and all-consuming. And at times, just too much to bear. Here are some of those things. The weight of living in debt. The darkness and hopelessness of depression. The heartbreak of a broken or breaking relationship. The desolation of bereavement. The shame that we carry around from our past mistakes or the past actions of others on us. The oppression of anxiety. The fear of health issues. The overpowering stress of work or bringing up a young family. The isolation of loneliness. The list could go on. These things may not cause literal paralysis, but they can so often cause emotional and mental paralysis, which weighs us down and robs us of peace and joy and freedom and life in all its fullness. I myself have been there in recent times, battling myself with anxiety and depression. And I know just how crippling and dominating it can be, and how desperate we can become in those situations. But you know, there's good news. There's good news that we don't have to walk in this stuff alone, and that God can bring strength and peace and transformation. Let's go back to our story, because this story is a story of hope, of incredible transformation. For suddenly, one day, out of the blue, everything changed for this man. It was a day that began like any other day for him, but it suddenly took a different turn. You see, rumours spread that actually there was a visitor in town, that this miracle man, Jesus, was there in the area and he was healing the sick and he was transforming lives. And as you can imagine, when that sort of news goes around, particularly in those times, the crowds were flocking from everywhere to meet him, for him to meet their biggest needs. I wonder what was going through the mind of that paralyzed man on that day. Suddenly, in his fragile and isolated world, there was a ray of hope. Could Jesus possibly heal him? Could he really have his life transformed? But of course, there was one big problem, wasn't there? How was he to get to Jesus? Well, you know, that's where his mat carriers came in, isn't it? We're not told who they were. Maybe they were friends. Quite likely, I think they were probably relatives of this man. What was clear, though, was that they were people who really cared for him, and that they were determined that they were going to get this guy to Jesus, come what may. And so they carried him on the mat. We don't know how far they carried him. Maybe they might have carried him miles. Maybe it took him a day to get to where Jesus was. We don't know. But then when he gets there, they find that the house is full and that they can't get in, let alone actually carry a mat with this paralysed man on it in. So determined, they say, we're going to find a different way. And they go up onto the steps of the flat roofs that they would have had in those houses, and they start to dig a hole through the roof and to pull the tiles off and to take it apart to lower this man down. You know, I've been thinking quite a lot about these men, or women they might have been, we don't know, who carried that mat for that man that day, this week. And it's reminded me that so often actually we are called to be mat carriers for others. That actually we may well have people in our lives who have huge issues, huge needs. And actually Jesus calls us to carry these people to him. To carry them either physically, maybe by inviting them to come to church or whatever, or actually in prayer. We carry people to Jesus, don't we? Not for us to fix their needs, that's not our responsibility. But actually we take them to Jesus. We take them to God. So that God can transform and meet their needs. I wonder who you are being a mat carrier for at this time. I wonder who Jesus is calling you to carry to him at this time. And so Jesus, standing there in the house, is suddenly met by this incredible scene, that the paralyzed man being lowered through the floor, through the roof above his head. But actually then it gets even more surprising, doesn't it? You see, I think if we didn't know this story, and maybe this story is new to some people here, and we were asked, and I did this with a group of guys up at Abbey House earlier on this week, on Monday, when I met with them, I said, what do you think happens next? I love saying that to those guys, because they don't know the stories. You'd say, what happens next? And they all said, well, I think Jesus is going to say, get up and walk, and he's going to heal them. And I said, you'd think that, wouldn't you? But that's not what happens straight away. Because what's the first thing that Jesus says? He doesn't meet what the thing that the paralyzed man thinks is his greatest need. Because Jesus sees a deeper need in him. An even more important need for him. A much more profound need. The need to be forgiven. The need to know he's loved by God. The need to know God. And that's why the first thing that Jesus says to him is this. Friend, your sins are forgiven. First thing he says is friend. Jesus starts by calling him his friend. He invites this man to have friendship with him. You know, central to the Christian faith is the belief that Jesus wasn't just a good man or a special teacher or just someone who had miraculous powers and could heal people, but that Jesus actually was in fact God himself come in human form to be one of us. That Jesus was both fully man and fully God. And so when Jesus says friends to him, he's saying to him, know that you are a friend of God. Know that God loves you. Know that God knows you. Know that God cares for you. What an amazing thing to say. That we can be friends with God. That God knows and loves and cares for us. And then he goes on and says, actually, your sins are forgiven. Sin is that Christian word which represents all the bad stuff that we do, all the mess of our lives where we live for ourselves and don't live God's way, the shame, the hurt, the mistakes we carry with us, which not only burden us but separate us from our perfect God. But Jesus here declares to the man, says, your sins are forgiven. He's saying, I've wiped the mess of your past from you. So you no longer have to carry it around with you. You no longer have to be burdened by it. You no longer have to live in shame of the past. And even more than that, you no longer have to be separated from the God who loves you and wants to be your friend. You know, that was his deeper need. That was far greater than his need to be physically healed. That was what Jesus first of all offered him, and he offers us his forgiveness, his friendship, and his love. A love which walks alongside the lonely and anxious and brokenhearted. A forgiveness which through Jesus' death on the cross removes the burden of those living in shame and hurt from the past of all of us and allows us to be friends with God again. A friendship which brings peace and joy which goes beyond any human understanding. That's the deeper need that Jesus came for. That's what Jesus offers to each one of us. You know, I think if we're honest, so often we can struggle with why this life is sometimes so hard. Why God doesn't intervene and stop all of the bad stuff. And why we're left with big questions often on this, aren't we? But so often our big needs, our pain, our sufferings, our trials can actually, like this man, bring us to Jesus. They can draw us to him in desperation in the first place so that we can realise our deeper need, simply to know God, to be forgiven and loved by him, and to receive his friendship. A guy called C.S. Lewis, who many of us know about, of course, who wrote the Narnia books and who was a resident of Malvern at one time, once said this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. C.S. Lewis knew a lot of the pain. He saw his wife struggle with cancer and die. He grappled with that stuff. And yet he still said, God meets us in our struggles, in our pain, in our suffering. And often that's an opportunity for him to fix our greatest need, to be connected again with God, the God of the whole universe. This story that we've been dwelling in today is a story written 2,000 years ago. A story which I believe, or we believe here, is true, that it really happened. And also that it's relevant for us today. Because we believe in a God who continues to meet people in their needs and brings transformation. And I want to say too, actually, that becoming a Christian doesn't mean that all our needs will suddenly disappear and suddenly be fixed. Praise God that sometimes that really is the case, that God can utterly transform. And we've got stories of how God's healed people, of how God's healed broken relationships, of how God's brought healing and restoration from past hurts. Lots of stories of those. But more often than not, actually, God calls us, his people, I think, to be his representatives here on earth, to join with him in supporting others and fixing these needs around us. He invites us to be mat carriers of others, carrying people's needs to Jesus, supporting people, journeying with people in tough times. You know, we believe that passionately here at All Saints and at St Andrew's, that this is our calling, to partner with God in the flourishing of our communities, to be mat carriers who are carrying people and their needs to Jesus, for Jesus to meet physical needs and material needs and emotional needs, and also that greater need to connect people up with the God, their God, of the whole universe. And one of the things that we're being led to do here, and really exciting stuff as a church, working alongside other churches in the town, is to set up a Malvern branch of an organisation called Christians Against Poverty, or CAP, as it's often known. This is a really well-respected national and international charity, which seeks to transform the lives of thousands of people each year who find their lives destroyed by debt and find themselves in a desperate and often suicidal place. This guy here is Martin Lewis, the money-saving expert, who's not Christian. He's often on BBC and telly and radio and just sharing particular help for people struggling with money issues. And he is one of CAP's biggest supporters. And he said this, he says, CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to the debt help they give people across the country. There's nothing better to start you on the path to having more money in your pocket. And he recommends CAP, actually, when people are in debt, as their first port of call. And as CAP supports people through their immediate needs, that of debt, they also invite people to have an opportunity to meet Jesus and have their deepest needs met, that of reconnecting with the God who loves and knows and cares for them. And the stories of transformed lives are inspirational. And I'm going to just show you, hopefully if this works, one just such story from the CAP website.
I just felt that I was such a letdown and a failure as a mother and as a wife. And then, of course, your depression gets worse and then you close in on yourself. The worst moments were the choice of either feeding the children or putting gas or electric on. 5 out of 7 days we didn't eat because there was not enough money in the pot to pay all the bills and to eat.
When they saw us eating, I think they felt happier, but we felt bad because we were eating what should have been theirs as well as ours.
I was ill with depression and everything just spiralled downward from there.
I thought that I was the cause of the problem. I just generally felt like rubbish. I felt like everything was going to chaos.
Imagine that was you. Imagine that was your family, your friends, your neighbour. What would you do? Where would you go for help? I am so glad that I discussed things with Christians Against Poverty. John came in. John and I were waiting for her. She said, I'm going to show you a video. She said, but first, could I pray for you? And I said, yes, please. And I just felt this real need for prayer. There was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders in that one meeting. The next day, Elizabeth turned up at the door with about 6 bags of shopping, and I just gave her a hug and I cried and I just said thank you, because it was just such a relief. You have to stick to your budget and CAP will stick with you all the way through. Things will get sorted. If CAP had not have come along, I don't think I would be here now. I really don't. Not only have I become a Christian, John has become a Christian, Thomas has become a Christian. The day I went debt free, it was like just absolutely wonderful, marvellous. And we got into the car park and I said to Janet, I need to pray to thank God for this outcome, because I never thought this day would come. I feel like there's a light shining on me. I feel like there's a light shining on the family. I've never looked back since those two people walked through my door. My life changed forever because someone like you decided to become a life changer. Would you join in? Would you give £5 a month to help another family like mine?
Amazing stories, isn't it? And the great news to announce is that we have interviewed in the last 10 days for people to be our debt centre manager here in Malvern. The churches together have committed to working together on this to set it up as a truly ecumenical project. And we're hoping to open our Malvern branch in hopefully January or February of this year. I can't say too much about the appointments that we've made so far because they're recommendations and the people are going to up to Bradford next Tuesday. But I would just say God has given us fantastic people to lead this forward. Peter and people from 4 different churches were involved in the interviews, and we felt God saying, actually, my vision is bigger than your vision, and actually you're being called to actually appoint 2 people, not just 1 person. So we've set aside 1 person as debt centre manager and 1 person as debt coach who will lead this work. We talked about this at PCC on Thursday, joint PCC. All Saints PCC have agreed to contribute £1,000 towards the cost of that from this year and £1,000 hopefully next year in the coming days. I had another big donation potentially on Friday. God is providing. God is in this. And it's really exciting to see how God is going to use this to help us be mat carriers in the coming years and to meet a need, which is a huge need in particular places in Malvern. Lynn says this in Pickersley is a huge need of people in debt. In the Octagon survey that was done, community survey a year ago, debt came out as the biggest need of people there. And God's given us a chance to meet that need. And I want to encourage you on Friday, amazing timing, is that there's going to be a BBC documentary on the work of CAP at BBC Two on Friday night at 9 o'clock. This literally was just announced last week. I really encourage you to watch it and to spread the word around that and to pray that actually this will be received really positively nationally and just that God would do amazing things through the sharing of that programme. But God gives us the chance to be part of it. Do pray, and we'll tell you more about that in the coming weeks. So as I close, Jesus comes to meet our deepest needs. But actually, he's also interested in our immediate needs too, isn't he? And not only does he say to this man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven," but he also says, "Get up and walk." And this paralyzed man, we're told, picked up his mat and went home praising God. What a transformation. What a life-changing encounter. And we could tell you of countless stories of people who've experienced the transformation that Jesus can bring. And there's several people in this room with significant stories. We've got significant stories of people that God's done miraculous healing in over recent months. And as we come to the end, I just want to invite you to just say, what does this story mean to you today at this time? There may be some here coming here this morning where actually it feels like this coming today almost is a through the roof moment where you've stepped into church and heard something and perhaps begun to encounter this guy called Jesus who you're not quite sure who he is. But actually there's something that is drawing you there. You know, we would love to invite you to come and connect up with our START course if that's going to be helpful for you. We've had several people do this course. It's a brilliant course of a northern vicar who actually talks about how he's had big struggles in his life, particularly with depression and all sorts of stuff, but how God's really met him. Really encourage you. Courses on evening course at St Andrews or a daytime course here starting 2 weeks' time. Or actually, if you want to find out a little bit more about the stories of Jesus, then actually there's these little books which I've managed to get hold of for 5p each. I'm going to give you them free. I'm not going to charge you 5p. But this is basically Luke's Gospel with a bit more introduction about what being a Christian is all about. We'd love you to take one of those away if that would be helpful for you. And there's also another great book called The Big Welcome, which actually talks a little bit about God's great welcome and what it means to become a Christian and join in with that journey. Any of those are all up at the back. Do grab one of those. There's the START course details. There's the books there. Also, as it's Try Church Sunday, we've also got a little booklet called Try Praying, which if you've never prayed before, is a great little booklet of saying, actually, this is how you might begin to pray. Honest, genuine prayers, which start like things like, God, I don't know whether you exist, but if you are, will you meet me? So feel free to grab any of those there. I also want to encourage you to say, actually, maybe there are people here who actually feel that they are carrying other people's burdens at the moment. You are being mat carriers to others. And actually, Jesus wants to say to you today, well done, but you're not on your own. And your job is not to solve all the issues. It's not to sort all the problems out. Your job is simply to carry these people to me. And I will meet their needs. And maybe there are people here who come particularly burdened today. Maybe family issues, maybe health issues, huge worries. We're going to sing a song, a couple of songs now. And I want to give us a chance to just reflect however we need to. And one of the ways as we do that in the next couple of songs is if you've got particular people or particular needs yourself that you would like to bring to Jesus. Then actually I'm going to be here, Peter's going to be here, anyone else who's on the prayer team, come and be here. We would love to just journey that with you, hold the mat with you and pray with you this morning. And if you'd like to do that, just come up anytime as we sing the next couple of songs, or just sit quietly on your own in the seats and actually just bring your own needs or the needs of others to Jesus. Our job is to take people to Jesus. Actually, God's job is to do the stuff. Or maybe actually you yourself are sitting there saying, actually, I want to know more. Maybe actually your prayer is simply, Jesus, if you're there, will you show me who you are?